All right, you're listening to Green Left Radio on 3CR 855 AM. And we are very happy to be having Dave Ball on our program, who is the Assistant Secretary of the Maritime Union of Australia. And one of the special stories, that, special reasons that we have David on our program today is that it's actually the 150th anniversary of the Maritime Union of Australia, which is actually quite an exciting milestone, especially in terms of, you know, what the union has achieved over the years. And of course, Green Left Radio and 3CR as a whole, you know, we've always, you know, we're always supporters of the MUA. And in fact, I think even the MUA is also affiliate of 3CR and have their own program. So good morning, Dave.
Morning, Dave.
Thank you, Jacob. Hi, Jacob and Chloe. How are you both?
Yeah, we're doing well. Thanks for being on the show and congratulations on 150th anniversary of the MUA.
No, thank you. It's a really exciting time for us. Obviously, it comes, you know, the back of a lot of different unions amalgamating together over many, many years, starting with the Australian Seamen's Union here in Melbourne, which they had their first meeting just down in Port Melbourne, which we celebrated on the 21st of September. That was the actual date where that Seamen's Union was formed. And at the same time, there was meetings taking place all over Australia, and there's always a bit of a tussle between us and New South Wales as to actually what union was formed first or where the first meetings take place. But Victoria stands by the 21st of September, 150 years ago. So, yeah, really exciting times.
Yeah, so I think the first question, Dave, in terms of starting, I guess, our interview is, I mean, what can you tell us about, you know, the MUA? Give us a bit of reflection about the MUA and I guess some of the things that the union has achieved and stood up for throughout, you know, its long and quite incredible history.
Yeah, well, it is exciting history, and I think one of the things for me that makes it so special is our internationalism, which comes out of our Seamen's Union background, where obviously seafarers travelled all over the world and met different cultures and different workers who struggled all over the country. So we've always had a very big international flavour, but that's to take nothing away from the Waterside Workers Federation or the Wharfies and the dock workers who are, they are becoming more and more international all the time, but they've had some fantastic wins and achievements over the year. Obviously, the 1998 dispute with Patrick's was a waterside workers dispute and probably the most significant industrial dispute in modern times in Australia. It was an event that challenged the union movement right to the core, and it was because of the fantastic solidarity with the Melbourne community. Well, it happened all over the country. It happened in Fremantle, it happened in Sydney, but obviously for us, the concentration was on Melbourne, and the community of Melbourne really got behind the waterside workers. They understood that the Howard government were just attacking them, and it was just a total ideological attack on their working conditions, and all the unions got right behind the waterside workers or the MUA, and fortunately we were able to maintain our presence on the waterfront, which was really significant for all unions, because had Howard had the ability to chase us off the waterfront, then it would be, you know, who knows what would have happened to the union movement. But fortunately, we were able to push them back. And so that was a magnificent event. And there's been lots of international events as well. You know, the Dhulfram dispute out of Port Kembla. We helped a lot with Indonesia. All the wars, we've played really big roles. Not many people may realise that 1 in 14 merchant seamen died during World War II. A lot of vessels were sunk during World War II, which was providing supplies to our troops overseas. So that was really significant. And probably one of the things I'd really like to talk a little bit about is the Wave Hill Rock Walk Off in Northern Territory. We've just had the Gurindji Festival. We have a wonderful man working for the MUA called Thomas Mayer. He's a First Nations man, and he is in a massive struggle for his people right now fighting for the Uluru Statement to be ticked off and give First Nations people a voice inside the Constitution, and that would be a massive achievement for First Nations people. And the MUA hopefully will, I think, will be recorded as being a significant player in that in history as well, because we've put a lot of support behind Thomas and we put a lot of support behind the Uluru Statement, and we're really looking forward to that getting out.
Yeah, thanks, Dave. I mean, it's a really interesting history that the MUA have, and, you know, we can take lessons from today as well. You know, workers, especially in how they can help build the anti-war movement. I mean, the workers, you know, have risked their lives and paved the way for many international solidarity movements. So we appreciate you sharing some of those things with us, those memories with us. But just on to another question we wanted to ask. So the MUA covers workers in the fossil fuel industry and, you know, has a good position on climate change. We wanted to know if you can discuss the transition away from fossil fuels and what the role the union has had to play in that.
Yeah, so this is a really exciting area for us. We do have a lot of members who still make a living out of the fossil fuel industry. We respect their right to make a living out of that industry, but we also acknowledge that that is a sunset industry. You know, it needs to be wound up, and we need to move towards renewable energy. Fortunately for our workers, their skills can transition straight into the renewable energy industry. In this particular case for us, the focus is on offshore wind. And seafarer skills and wharfing skills just translate or transition straight over into that industry. And the MUA have put several submissions into the federal government. We constantly lobby the state government here in Victoria with the assistance of Victorian Trades Hall. Colin Long, who is the Just Transition Coordinator out of Victorian Trades Hall, and the ETU and other unions who are all getting on board and trying to get that industry off the ground. The exciting project called the Star of the South, it's believed will be the first offshore wind project to start in Australia, and it is super exciting. It's an entire industry that we don't have right now, so it's the birth of an entire new industry. We're hoping that we can get manufacturing of those wind turbines here in Australia. That's the ultimate aim. It's a big goal, but we believe that we have the resources and skills right across all the different you know, unions. Obviously, the AMWU would play a big role in manufacturing, and Gippsland is just screaming out for, you know, an industry like that to take up where once that all those power stations down there close down. So, yeah, we are really excited about that, and we're really on the front foot with trying to get that industry off the ground.
Yeah, so what can you tell, going back to the kind of history, I guess, some of the history, I guess, of the union, again, can you tell us, I guess, about the MUA has always, I guess, been the kind of subject to of a lot of kind of slanderous attacks by the right-wing kind of establishment. I mean, the bosses, and especially that of the bosses, have always, you know, hated how the MUA has always organised and consistently fought for workers' rights. And I guess, what can you tell us, I guess, about, you know, how the MUA has resisted some of those attacks and, you know, built the confidence in workers within the union to fight for their rights and for the rights for others?
So we're very lucky. Well, we work hard at it, that our union density in our workplaces is in the very high 90%. So everybody in our workplaces join the MUA, and obviously that comes, you get strength out of unity and everybody being in the union. When you shift work or you work on a ship, you develop a camaraderie with your fellow workers that's probably a little bit deeper than the normal day shift, Monday to Friday job, because you get to see those fellows workers through every sort of facet of the day. You share with them the hardships with their families and their friends, and you develop, as I said, a camaraderie that's probably a little bit stronger than you know, in a lot of workplaces. So I think that builds our strength. I think also our great history, you know, the 1998 dispute. Obviously, that's, 35 years ago now. That's spoken about all the time between the workers and how that, we were up against the odds, but with the assistance of all the other unions, we managed to push back. Obviously, the logo that emerged out of 1998, some people might think MUA here to stay. That logo has been around for forever, but it actually emerged out of that dispute, and it's such a great logo, and we genuinely believe that we'll be here to stay, and we'll continue to fight no matter what. And we often think to ourselves, well, what are the bosses thinking? Haven't they been following our history? Do they really think that we're going to give up on this? And, we just don't, and we continue to fight. And that was seen recently with the Cube dispute in Frio, where our workers were put out on the grass for 13 weeks and all the country got behind them. We assisted them financially, emotionally, and every bit of support we could, and we got through that dispute, and there's going to be another dispute with Cube coming up in the future. So we just continue to fight and fight and fight. And at the moment, I'm sure you guys have already probably spoken about on one of your shows, the Knuff dispute down in Turner Street in Port Melbourne. Next Tuesday, the MUA are going to get down there in numbers at 11 o'clock, and we're going to throw our support behind those workers who have been out on the grass for 5 weeks and encourage them to continue the fight, and we'll be beside them all the way.
Yeah, thanks, Dave. We've been going down to the picket line, the Knuff picket line ourselves, and it is really inspiring that all 60 workers, all unionised, are, continue to stand strong. But you mentioned, you've already given us a bit of the MUA's proud history of showing international solidarity, but it is very inspiring to hear about things like the Delfrum dispute and, the fact that, the MUA was, they've had some really good positions, but they, they refused to support, the likes of Robert Menzies in his fight with the Australian union workers over the shipping of iron to Japan during the World War II. And, they refused to support Japanese fascists invading another country. I mean, it really does show, they've demonstrated the importance of solidarity between workers and unionists. And we just wanted to know a few more examples, or could you give us a few more historic, moments in the MUA's history of that kind of international solidarity?
Well, one of the ones that sticks out to me, I have a bit of a personal part to it, was Nelson Mandela and apartheid. And the MUA were very outspoken at a time when, countries were turning a blind eye to apartheid. And Nelson Mandela was a guest of the MUA out in Australia. And my father-in-law was actually bodyguard. So that was a bit of a personal experience for me. And he was very proud of that moment. And we were very proud of our role that we played in opposing apartheid and making sure that everybody else knew that it was the wrong thing to do. We also had a fair bit to do in Indonesia that not many people know about. So we've totally supported the independence of the Indonesian people, and we still do now. I mean, there was a bit of a more recent history with an oil pipeline in the Timor Sea, where there was quite a few conspiracies regarding where the oil pipeline started, whether it was at East Timorese land or in Australian land. I think the Australian government pulled a fair bit of a shifty there, but the MUA supported the Indonesian seafarers right through that process and made sure they continued to get work. So there's just a couple more experiences. I'm not really sure of any others right now.
Yeah. Well, I think that's actually a very good kind of reflection of the difference, because obviously I think, the union has been around for 150 years. I'm sure we could probably spend all day, discussing all the different kind of milestones, all the different campaigns and struggles that the MUA has shown solidarity with over the years. And I guess that kind of goes in, maybe looking a bit to kind of I want to hear, some of your kind of reflections on the union in the future. What are some of your hopes for the union in the future? Things that, you hope to achieve, and so on.
Well, I guess on a social level, I mentioned earlier the Uluru Statement. That's a massive campaign for us. Automation on the waterfront is a massive concern for us. So we're fighting against automation at the moment. And Australian shipping is one of our biggest campaigns. We really want to get Australian seafarers back on ships that are, you know, moving between ports on Australian coastlines, and also to protect our merchant seamen's jobs in Bass Straits. Now, the Port of Melbourne has been privatised unbelievably by a state Labor government, the Dan Andrews government. They leased out the Port of Melbourne for 50 years. And, you know, that privatised part of the port is bending over to big business, big shipping, and they're forcing the Australian Bass Strait trade up under the river, which will increase the costs of that trade. We don't support that at all. We don't support big shipping dictating to the Port of Melbourne and telling them how they should run their business. It needs to go back into state hands, and we'd like to see that happen. We'd like to see the Australian federal government and state government invest a lot more money in Australian shipping. They're telling us they're doing that, and we're pretty excited about getting Australian crews back on Australian ships.
Yeah, so in terms of, we're probably running a bit of our time now, and we want to kind of conclude the guest interview now, but I guess the final kind of question, I guess, is how are you and the MUA celebrating the 150 years of struggle, solidarity and unity? And I guess, you know, is there kind of like any events that, you know, supporters of the union can come to help, you know, recognise this important milestone?
There has been a couple of events. Like I mentioned, on the 21st of September, there was an event where we did a bit of a walk around Port Melbourne to check out the different historical places the union has been involved with. We do have an event coming up on the 29th of October, but unfortunately it's MUA members. It's an event for the MUA members where we have the Painters and Dockers playing and various bands. I've just come back from Sydney where we had 150th dinner and Anthony Albanese spoke at it, so that was exciting and good to see that as a Prime Minister, he's still supporting the union. So there is events happening all over the country, but, yeah, that's probably about it.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Dave. And, yeah, I think at the end of the day, I mean, Green Left End is going to continue to kind of support the great work that the MUA continues to do, and we'll always, you know, continue to stand in solidarity with your struggles against, you know, any injustice.
Thank you, Jacob and Chloe. Thanks for the time this morning.
Incredible milestone. Dave, thanks for coming on the show.
Cheers. Bye.